Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Nick Dwyer is a well-known TV personality and DJ about town, and increasingly he's also very, very well-travelled. He's just come back from such diverse locations as Israel, Jamaica, Shanghai and Brazil, making a new show called Making Tracks, in which he takes New Zealand music to the world. Russell Brown caught up with him as the show was coming together and asked him how it all came about.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. It's kind of something, and I know it sounds kind of cheesy, but it's always something that I've been kind of dreaming of doing for a long, long time now. And just through over the last 4 years with C4, just been slowly kind of chipping away, doing shows of a similar ilk, kind of just building up the ideas and you know, that experience under your belt to kind of eventually work towards this, which is, you know, a fully realized TV series, which, I don't know, as well as discovering music culture around the world, having this kind of exchange going on, and I don't know, it just seemed like I mean, it would be very easy to have a situation where it's like, hey, I want to do a travel show about music around the world, cool, but it's, I don't know, that's kind of seems like you're taking the mickey a little bit, and just, I don't know, as silly as it sounds, I'm really passionate about New Zealand music, always have been, and just the whole notion of taking New Zealand music to these far-flung places and seeing the reaction to it.
Because you had that cross-cultural music experience through the Red Bull Academy, didn't
sure.
you? Was that an influence on the way you thought about it?
Definitely. I mean, the Red Bull Academy played a large part in just kind of opening my ears and eyes to, you know, music cultures and kind of, I don't know, let's say tumultuous social circumstances. Like, for example, I don't know, this whole thing of, like, you know, as we know, some of the most beautiful music comes out of the most disparate social situations. And you read and hear things about the baile funk music, which is the music of the favelas in Brazil. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that's happening in the townships in South Africa and all over the world. You know, these guys go through just so much, yet music plays such a great part in their lives, and through music, they just, I don't know, it gives them so much hope and joy, and for so many reasons. So, I don't know, being at the Academy really opened my eyes to so many kind of, I don't know, I guess there's this whole thing, a lot of people, there's this horrible notion of world music, and when a lot of people think of world music, they probably think of, like, Deep Forest or Yothu Yindi, but the reality is, like, some of the most exciting, vibrant music is coming out of, you know, places like Brazil, places like Angola and Africa. And I guess part of the show as well was having an opportunity to kind of show a New Zealand audience these really rich cultures that you don't, in countries that you don't get to see on the TV screens very often.
And also, I think that you've sort of emphasised that whatever music's going on in these places isn't separate from everything else. I mean, even on your radio show, you'll play Brazilian drum and bass and that kind of thing, won't you?
For sure. I don't know. I think it's really exciting what's, you know, with I guess with the internet opening up as well. If you're a kind of a passionate music fan and you always want to discover new music, there was always that kind of thrill of going into a record store and flicking through bins for hours and finding finding some kind of new music from wherever. And with the internet now, a lot of that kind of charm is lost, I think, a little bit, because it's like you turn on your computer and you can kind of get everything instantaneously. So a lot of that kind of adventure is lost. And with, I don't know, being a music geek kind of all my life, being able to kind of go to these new countries and have that feeling all over again is a pretty exciting thing.
So who did you work out the idea with?
Well, myself and a friend of mine, James Anderson, we've been kind of working together. We made a documentary on the Red Bull Academy in 2003 when we were in South Africa. And then every year just kind of developed this whole thing further of, you know, we did a show for C4 called Road to Rome, where, you know, went to Japan, went to Berlin, and we're kind of showing a lot of the successes that New Zealand music was having overseas and dispersed with stories on, you know, local musicians in those areas. Like, for example, this is when Fat Freddy's Drop was starting to get a lot of attention in Europe, and kind of, you know, documenting those stories. And then so we did another show after that called Around the World in 18 Days, which kind of took in more countries, took in more culture, and just took it a little bit further. And then finally, you know, developed into the series.
So how did you make the choices? How did you pick the songs first?
It was an interesting one. To be honest, there was no real... There was no real kind of like, okay, well, I guess we kind of thought about the, for example, we've got in India, we chose Bet Rung Is Sway, and it's just, I don't know, for some of them, Some of the choices, they are obvious fits. Some of them, it was kind of like taking this original track so far out of its original context and just seeing what the results would be. Like in Tel Aviv, having a Israeli ska band doing a cover of Straight Jacket Fits She Speeds. It's just so amusing and so incredible at the same time. And and when we're in Brazil, having a baile funk remix of She Ha You Again. Now, baile funk as a style is very cut and paste. They take these, you know, these very sample heavy, and they'll take like a big rock riff or something, and then with their cut and paste style, turn it into this baile funk thing. And I mean, there's no greater kind of Kiwi rock riff than She Ha'd You Again. So.
Exactly, and She Ha'd are all about the rhythm, aren't they? Mm. So was that what those guys related to?
To be honest, they just we kind of gave them no instructions whatsoever for what you know they would to do. We just gave them the original track, and they were left to do whatever they wanted with it. And with the She Ha'd track, they just took that riff and then tuned out a little baile funk monster.
Mm. And the Mint Chick song as well. I'm really interested to see how that turns out. Actually,
yeah, it was amazing. It was really cool. It was an interesting one with the Mint Chicks because there's a guy. Shanghai has always had an incredible history of jazz, and obviously during the Cultural Revolution, all of that came to an end. And in the last 10-15 years, you know, Shanghai has obviously opened up, and you can really see that with the jazz scene is really vibrant. You've got people from all over the world, and this guy I made contact with, Lawrence Koo. He typical jazz slackness style, he kind of left it to the last minute. I remember when we were going there, that they were performing it that night, and he'd just finished writing the arrangement, and we kind of started talking to him in the afternoon. He was just presenting the sheets to the rest of the band, and we're like, oh god, we've come all this way, he's just presenting it now, it's going to be terrible. And then sure enough, that night the band just went through it two or three times in the rehearsal, and that night just hearing this amazing jazz version of the Mint Chicks play out to a packed little smoky Shanghai jazz club. And I'm not just saying this, but it was out of their whole set, it was the one the crowd loved the most. It was a kind of shiver down the spine moment.
Wow! So how did you find the people to work with? I mean, did you have networks where you were able to make contact with the right sort of people?
I guess going back to what we were saying before about the Red Bull Academy. I mean, I've been really really blessed over the last 5-6 years working with the Academy to travel to a lot of these countries and meet a lot of these people, and I've stayed in touch with everyone and have built up a really really solid network of people that have helped me out, and I guess for me it's just I just love researching, and it's just even spending 2 weeks kind of I knew very little of Israel before I went there. Obviously, you know, a lot of us, we all of our information comes from our news feeds and what have you, and just to actually spend a lot of time researching not just the Israeli music scene, but Israel on the whole. It was an incredible experience, and just kind of through listening to a lot of their music and finding the right people, letting those networks continue, and then get there and go, right, well, the people that we did choose were great people.
And you picked a disparate bunch of songs. Did you kind of through it become aware of some sort of character to the New Zealand music you'd picked?
I think if you look at the series on a whole, the aim really was to showcase tracks that would be familiar. I don't know. I guess the thing as well is, we want the show to be as accessible to everyone as possible. And I think everyone of all ages, and even transcending the normal market that would say watch C4, to kind of get them into it as well. And I mean, you'll see everything from a Bette Ringer track to a Chills track to you've got a Scribe track. So if you look at the series on a whole, the aim was just to showcase a lot of New Zealand's most beloved classics that kind of transcend so many different age groups.
So what happens to these recordings now?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, they've taken on a life of their own. Again, going back to the She Ha'd remix that we talked about, I've got some the world's top DJs that play that music. They're playing it now in clubs. With every single artist that we met, we shoot a little music video for their re-performance. And we invited the first Palestinian rap group to do a cover of Scribes Not Many, which is just incredible. And they did such an amazing job. And now MTV in Arabia want the music video for the whole of the Arabic-speaking nations, which is, it's really cool to see that happening. So
that's amazing. It's a bit of publishing for Scribe too.
Bit of publishing for Scribe in the Arab world. So no, it's really exciting to see what will happen off the back of this.
Any chance of it actually of the songs actually being released?
We're talking about it. I mean, it was the whole project. It was a lot of work, and it's definitely opened. you realise that there's a lot more to the music industry when you start thinking about mechanicals and publishing. And just for us, before we did the project, of course, you know, we know a little bit about that stuff, but all of a sudden when you realise, okay, to use these songs, we need to get this clearance and that bit of paperwork, it's... Before we were going to the show, we were just like, right, let's make the show and then let's see what happens. But there's been a little bit of talk with a couple of people off the back of the show. Let's try and get a compilation together. So I guess watch this space.
Cool. Well, just finally, I guess. I mean, you're not the kind of guy that sits still.
Yes.
What do you do next?
Well, I don't know. Hopefully, if people enjoy the show, then maybe... you know, we could do another series. I guess the beauty of the show is of the series is, you know, you're only limited to the amount of countries that have a music culture, which, as we know, is every single country in the world. And, you know, I think the main emphasis on the show is it's a music based travel show, but you learn through the artists that you meet and the stories that they tell. You'll learn about the nation's social context and historical context. So there's a little bit of in it, you know, there's a little bit in there for everyone. And yeah, I mean, hopefully there'll be a another series and more kind of crazy, fruity New Zealand covers kind of permeating the world.
Oh, best of luck with it. It's a fascinating idea.
Thank you, Russell.
And with Nick Dwyer there, that's our show for this week. If you want to catch anything that was in this show, or indeed anything in past shows, pop along to our podcast at publicaddress.net/radio. I've been Russell Brown.
I'm Damien Christie.
And thanks to New Zealand On the Air.